Welcome to the deep dive. Ever spent ages crafting that perfect B2B email, hit send, and then nothing? Or worse, a flood of bounce backs?
It happens. A lot.
And maybe, just maybe, the problem wasn't your amazing copy. Maybe it was the list you sent it to.
The foundation.
Exactly. Today, we're diving deep into choosing a reputable B2B email list provider. We've got this great article here that honestly lays it all out, the risks, the rewards, what you really need to look for.
It's a good one. Very practical.
So our mission today, cut through all the jargon, pull out the absolute must-know insights from this piece, and help you make a smart choice. Because getting the list right, it's everything in B2B email.
It really is. Email still packs a punch in B2B.
Yeah.
The ROI can be fantastic. But like you said, if the list is junk, the whole thing just falls apart. It's like,
yeah,
building on sand.
Right. And the risks aren't just, oh, that campaign didn't work. It's bigger.
Much bigger. Poor data can wreck your deliverability, get you flagged as spam. It can seriously damage your brand's reputation. And let's not forget, you could land in hot water legally, violating privacy laws. That's no joke.
Okay, so let's get into this article. It really hammers home that point first, success is about reaching the right people, right companies, right roles.
Mm-hmm. Your copy could win awards, but if it goes to someone who left the company 6 months ago or just the wrong department entirely, it's wasted.
Yeah.
Pure waste of effort and budget.
And that fallout you mentioned from bad data blacklisting sounds scary.
It is. If your emails keep bouncing or getting marked as spam, the ISPs, the email providers, they notice. They can flag your entire domain.
Right.
Suddenly, even your legitimate emails struggle to get through.
Wow. So it poisons the well for everything else.
Pretty much. Plus, you know, the wasted ad spend, the brand looking sloppy if you get titles or names wrong, and forget about segmenting properly if your data's garbage.
So how do you even start to figure out who's good and who's just selling snake oil? The article gives us a framework, right? A way to evaluate.
Yeah, it boils it down nicely. Three core pillars, they call them.
Okay.
Data quality, regulatory compliance, and customer support. Basically, the absolute essentials you need to check off.
Right. Makes sense. Let's tackle that first one, data quality. The article calls it the cornerstone. Seems obvious, but what does quality actually mean here? It's not just, does the email exist?
No, it's much more than that. First, accuracy.
Yeah.
Is the contact info current? Is that person still in that role at that company? That's crucial.
Okay. Accuracy. What else?
Completeness. You need more than just an email. A good list should have company name, job title, maybe industry, company size, revenue, location, all those data points you need to see if they fit your ideal customer profile.
Your ICP.
IACP. Yeah. Right. That perfect customer you're trying to reach.
Yeah.
Got it. Completeness.
Then recency. How often is this database cleaned and updated? B2B data goes stale fast. People move jobs, get promoted.
So you need fresh data. Absolutely. And segmentation. Can the provider let you slice and dice the list? Filter by industry, job level, geography, company size. Whatever matches your target. That's vital for targeted campaigns.
Okay, accuracy, completeness, recency, segmentation, and I guess the big one, deliverability. Do the emails actually get delivered?
Exactly. And this is where the article gets really helpful. It talks about the actual validation methods the good providers use, the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Oh, okay. Like what? How do they check this stuff?
Well, there's the basic email syntax check, just making sure it looks like an email address, you know, the at and the .com or whatever. But then, more importantly, domain verification. Does the company domain actually exist? Is it active? Does it look like a real business?
Right. Basic checks. Makes sense.
Then it gets more sophisticated. Things like an SMTP ping.
SMTP ping. What's that?
Think of it like knocking on the server's door for that email address, but without actually sending an email. It checks if the mailbox exists and can receive mail, but avoids the risk of a hard bounce if you just sent a test message.
Whoa. Okay. That's clever. So they can check validity without actually sending and risking their or your reputation.
Precisely. It's a sign of a provider who's serious about deliverability.
Mm.
And for really key contacts, some providers even do human verification.
Wait, actual people checking data.
Yeah. Sometimes reviewing profiles, sometimes even making calls to verify high-value contacts or specific data points. It's labor-intensive, sure, but for top-tier accuracy, it's hard to beat.
Human verification. Wow. Okay. What else do they cross-reference?
Good ones do. Third-party matching, they'll check their data against other established sources, like LinkedIn profiles or business directories like DNB, to confirm details.
Mm-hmm.
And crucially, update frequency. We've touched on recency. This article is clear. Reputable vendors should be refreshing and revalidating their entire database pretty often, at least every 30 to 60 days. Data decay is real.
30, 60 days. That's constant work. Okay.
Yeah.
And the article mentioned red flags around quality. Specific numbers.
Yes. Big red flag. If a provider gets cagey or won't commit to, say, a 95% or higher accuracy rate, or if they can't guarantee a hard bounce rate below 2%, if they can't confidently state those kinds of numbers backed by their validation methods, you should be suspicious.
Right. Those validation methods are how they should be hitting those targets.
Exactly.
Okay, so killer one, data quality. It's about accuracy, completeness, recency, segmentation, deliverability. And those validation techniques like SMTP pings and updates, aiming for those high 95% plus accuracy, sub 2% bounce rates. Got it. Let's move to pillar two, compliance. This feels increasingly complicated.
Oh, it absolutely is. The article really stresses this. Even though it's B2B, you're often dealing with personal data, names, emails, and global privacy laws are strict. You can't just scrape a list and start blasting emails anymore.
So what are the main regulations we need to worry about? The article lists them, right?
Yep. The big ones, you got GDPR for Europe, CAN spam in the US, CCPA and now CPRA in California, CASL in Canada. These aren't suggestions, they're laws with teeth.
And what should a provider be doing to ensure the data they sell you is compliant and helps you stay compliant?
Okay, this is critical. A reputable provider must be transparent about how they collected the data and obtained consent. They need to be able to show you proof.
Proof? Like what?
Like documentation.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially timestamps, the source URLs where consent was given. They need to maintain clear audit trails. You can't just take their word for it.
So you need the backstory on that data's consent.
Absolutely. And they must offer DPA or DSR support. That's data processing addendums and data subject request support. Think GDPR's right to be forgotten or CCPA's right to know. If someone asks you to delete their data and you got it from a provider, that provider needs systems in place to help you honor that request properly and promptly. If they can't, the legal risk falls on you.
Wow. Okay, so their compliance process directly impacts your legal standing. The consequences of getting this wrong, fines, lawsuits, losing customer trust, sound severe.
They are. Which sort of naturally leads to the third pillar, customer support. The article makes a really good point here. The relationship shouldn't end the moment you download that spreadsheet.
Right. Because you'll inevitably have questions or need help using the data, integrating it.
Exactly. So things to ask about. Do they offer dedicated account managers, especially if you're making a significant purchase? What are their support hours? Can you get help via email or phone when you actually need it, like during a campaign launch?
Good point.
Do they provide onboarding assistance, especially helping you get the data flowing into your CRM or marketing automation platform, your HubSpot, Salesforce, Marketo, whatever you use? And do they have decent training resources? Webinars, guides, documentation?
Yeah, onboarding and training seem key. You don't want to be stuck with a massive file you can't figure out how to use effectively. And I like that the article mentions data replacement guarantees for hard bounces.
That's a big one. It shows they stand behind their quality claims. If they guaranteed under 2% bounces and you see 5%, they should replace those bad contacts. It protects your investment.
Okay, so the three pillars: data quality, compliance support, solid framework. The article also touches on some extra features and flags. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Desirable features often tie back to that segmentation point. Look for really deep filtering options. Can you get super granular? Filter by specific job functions, seniority levels, maybe even technologies the company uses. The more precise, the better your targeting.
Makes sense. And positive signs when you're vetting them, things that show they're legit.
Definitely ask for free sample records. You absolutely need to kick the tires yourself, see the data format, check a few contacts. Bounce rate guarantees, as we said, are a good sign. And see if they'll let you do a small-scale test deployment by a small batch first to run a pilot campaign.
And the flip side, the big red flag we already touched on.
If they hesitate or outright refuse to give you a sample to test,
mm-hmm.
run away.
Yeah.
Seriously. Also, just practically, make sure the data format works for you. Standard CSV or Excel. Do they have APIs to connect directly to your marketing tools? You don't want data integration to become a massive headache.
So the article then kind of summarizes the vetting process, steps before you buy and steps after.
Yeah, the quick checklist, pre-purchase, get that sample, non-negotiable, verify their opt-in methods and data sources, ask for the documentation, check their claimed accuracy and bounce rates. Do they meet those benchmarks like 95% accuracy, 2% bounce, confirm compliance with GDPR, CAN, spam, etc.? Again, evidence. And make sure the data fields match your ICP needs.
Okay, that's the homework before you commit and yeah. after you buy.
Don't just load it up and hope for the best. Run a pilot campaign right away on a small segment. Track your metrics, bounces, opens, clicks, engagement. Report bad data promptly based on their guarantee. Get those replacements. And remember, data decays. Set up regular review cycles with your provider. Even if they're good, keep things fresh.
This really highlights some common mistakes people make, doesn't it? The pitfalls.
Oh, yeah. The article lists some classics. Number one, going for the super cheap provider almost always means outdated, non-compliant, probably resold data. Leads straight to poor results and deliverability issues.
Tanny wise, pound foolish.
Exactly. Another big one, prioritizing list quantity over quality. A million bad contacts are worse than 10,000 good ones. Ignoring compliance, just hoping the provider did it right without asking for proof. That's risky. Skipping pilot tests, just buying blind. And not thinking about integration until it's too late. If the data doesn't work with your tech stack, it's useless.
Yeah, that cheap list really isn't a bargain if it gets your domain blacklisted.
The true cost is way, way higher.
Okay, one last big comparison the article makes. Building your own list versus buying from a provider. The classic build versus buy.
Right, it breaks down the trade-offs pretty clearly. Time.
Yeah.
Building takes a lot of time, effort, nurturing. Buying gives you instant access.
Cost.
Building's ongoing labor cost, content, outreach, maintenance. Buying is usually a lump sum upfront fee. Accuracy. Building, if done right through genuine opt-ins and engagement, can be highly accurate and intent-driven for your specific audience. Buying. Accuracy totally depends on the vendor's quality processes we just talked about.
Dealability.
Scalability. Building is slower organic growth. Buying offers immediate scale. And customization. Building gives you full control. Buying relies on the provider's available segments and filters.
So when does the article suggest buying makes more sense?
Generally for speed and scale.
Yeah.
Launching a new product fast. Need attendees for an event next month. Entering a new market quickly. Buying can make sense there.
And building.
Building is often better for long-term high-value plays, like complex account-based marketing, ABM campaigns, targeting specific accounts, or nurturing leads over a long sales cycle where that deep relationship and verified interest matters most.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Use cases for both. So wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway here? The article's final word seems to be that this isn't just buying a list, it's a strategic move.
It absolutely is. It directly impacts your deliverability, your engagement rates, your legal risk, and yeah, ultimately your marketing ROI. The bottom line from the source is pretty clear. You have to insist on properly verified data, provable compliance, and decent support. Don't settle for less.
So we've covered those three pillars, quality, compliance, support. We've gone through how to vet providers, the pitfalls to avoid, build versus buy. Quite a deep dive.
It's a lot to manage. Mm-hmm. And thinking about how complex compliance is now and how fast data changes, how does knowing all this detail maybe change how you, the listener, might approach building or buying lists going forward, especially if things keep evolving?
Yeah. And what does really prioritizing quality over just sheer quantity look like for your specific marketing goals? Something to definitely think about.